opened up this church in Europe. This was the first Christian church in Europe, and he opened it up on his missionary trip, and it's written in Acts, the 16th chapter. But see, when Paul planted this church, I mean, they used to plant churches differently than the way people try to plant churches today. They got all kind of schematics and demographics to find out what kind of people are where in order to start a church, what kind of messages you need to preach to these people, amen, for you to be successful. Back then, they didn't have, they just opened up a church. And when this church opened up, it opened up in a missionary's home. It was a bunch of women praying together, and all of a sudden, there was a church. Amen? So there's something about the power of home ministry. There's something about the power of the woman in the church being a backbone in the church. Amen? But when Paul was in prison, he was thinking about this church, and so he wanted to write them to encourage them. Amen? So in Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse, he said, being confident of this very thing, that which he has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, being confident of this very thing. He didn't say being confident in me. He says, being confident of this thing. And we know that having confidence is very vital to success. Amen? Having confidence, we are able to put our trust into something outside of us. Amen? Yesterday during the marriage ceremony, I heard the wife say, before she became the wife, that I have confidence in you and I trust you. Therefore, if she didn't have confidence and trust, there would be no wedding. Amen? When we don't have confidence and trust in somebody, we don't get married. Amen? We don't give them our money. Amen? But there was confidence and trust. So Paul is saying that I have confidence of this very thing. The writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. But Paul was not relying on his own understanding. He said, I have confidence in this thing. So what is this thing? A lot of times we talk and communicate to one another and we say, oh, I want you to do this thing over here for me. And the person looks at you and they say, well, what is this thing you're talking about? And we say, well, you know what I'm talking about. That's usually the type of conversation me and my wife have. I want you to go take care of this thing. And I said, well, what thing are you talking about? She said, you know what I'm talking about. Why do I know what she's talking about? Because we had already discussed this thing. Amen? So Paul is greeting the Philippians, and he opens it up with his normal salutations, letting everybody know that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, offers them grace and peace. But in verse 3, it starts, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. How many times do we thank God when we remember somebody? See, you thank God when you remember good things about somebody. We don't thank God when we remember bad things about somebody. Amen? Usually there's other words associated with that when we remember bad things about somebody. But then he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So he's saying that I'm thanking God for everything that you've gone through in the gospel, from the first day until now. Then he comes to that next scripture where he says, being confident of this very thing. Now, what is he referring to? He's referring to Jesus Christ, the gospel. He's referring to salvation. He's referring to this very thing that Jesus Christ gave him and has given them. Amen? He says, be in confidence of this very thing that he, which is Jesus Christ, that he, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what is he saying that he had, that has begun a good work in you? Now, we all believe that we do good works. Amen? We all believe that we do good things and good works. Amen? So if we are saved, we should know that our work is not finished and we're not at perfection yet. Amen? And that he is still working on both me and you. Amen? So none of us has arrived, and Paul is telling them, you do great things there, but he's begun a good work in you, and he's going to continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is telling us that our work is not done. Even though we're saved, our work is not done. There is more work to do because we work towards perfection. And we know that we'll never be in perfection, but we still work towards it. Amen? But there is confidence in the fact that he who has started it won't leave you alone. Amen? He's always going to be there for you. Amen? He's not going to say, well, I got tired of working with you. He's not going to say, well, I left that project alone. He didn't say, I'm not going to finish it. He has begun a work in you, and he shall continue to do that work in you. So when man get tired of you, remember that Jesus Christ still loves you, and he's still going to work with you no matter what it is that you go through, no matter what obstacles you have to go through. No matter how deep in the mud you are, if he has begun a work in you, if he has begun a work in you, you see, you're saved. He has begun a work in you. There's people he hasn't begun a work in. But if he has begun a work in you, if you ever cried out to the Lord, if you ever gave yourself to the Lord, there is a work in you, because no matter how much you do, there's something in the back of your mind that reminds you that Jesus Christ does not approve of what it is that you're doing. Come on, somebody. He is that awesome that no matter what it is that you do, he's still back there telling you something in your subconscious. You can drown it out with alcohol and drugs and all of that stuff for a little while. It only lasts for a little while. But the presence of Jesus Christ is always persistent in a person. Amen? So let's take a few minutes into this verse as we think on this thought that he is still working on me. The confidence of these saints, as Paul is writing, is examined. Paul uses a strong word to describe the hope that he has in Jesus Christ. He uses the word confidence. That word confidence means to persuade. Amen? And we are all persuaded in some form or another in this church. Amen? We are always persuaded at some point or the other in life. Some of us are persuaded when we hear the word sale. Some of us are persuaded when we hear this word free. It moves us to do things that we would not normally do. Amen? So Paul is saying, I am persuaded, amen, and I have confidence in this thing. Amen? He is persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is saved. Paul is exhorting the fact that, saints, we can have assurance in knowing that we are saved. Amen? We can have assurance in knowing that. Have you ever heard somebody say, you ask somebody, are you saved? They say, I don't know. If you don't know, then you're not. If you don't know, then you're not. This is a yes or no question. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you'll talk to somebody and you ask them a question and they beat around the bush. And you sit back, wait, and say, well, you still didn't give me an answer. It's either yes or no. If you are saved and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you'll know. How would you know? Because the things that you used to do, you can't comfortably do them any longer. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that Paul is exhorting to the saints to have absolute assurance that they're going to be saved and that they will go to heaven. Paul was not alone in this belief, because the Bible overflows with verses that tell us how we can know for sure that we are saved. Look at 1 John 5 and 13. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died, raised up after 3 days, if you believe in that, you're well on your way. 1 John 5 and 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. I don't know how you could be saved and you don't love Jesus Christ. I don't know how you could be saved and you don't know that that was God the Father on earth as in human form. I don't know how you know that. If you read the Bible, how can you not know that? If you read that he came down in human form, God in human form, amen? And everything points and directs us that way from the Old Testament until Matthew when he was born. How could you be saved and you don't recognize that? But yet we tend to believe what man will tell us. Because man will tell you some equations and tell you some things and say, I can't prove it to you, but you have to believe it because it works. We'll believe that. But we cannot believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We can't believe that he died on the cross and rose. We can't believe that. So we people go around trying to talk to God. You can't talk to him. Through his Son, you can reach him. Hallelujah. You know that you are saved when you have turned your back on your old life of sin. Amen? If when you do something, it just feels the same way like it used to do, you have not turned your back on it. You might have paused. You ever see a pause? You come to a stop sign and you don't stop, but you pause. If you pause in your sin, you have not stopped. See, because God and the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, no matter what it is that you're doing, you can stop. You don't have to pause. He can stop it. Hallelujah. We go to these meetings and we go to all these places that give you things that help you to slow down, that help you to pause. But Jesus Christ can stop it. And I believe that I have confidence in this very thing. Hallelujah. In this same very thing that Jesus Christ can stop whatever it is that is leading you back into sin. Amen? So the ability to know that you are saved is not foolish. It is a biblical truth. It is something that you can know for sure. Amen? And I want you to know that you're not saved by you. You didn't do it yourself. You're not a self-made person. You're not a self-made saint. We're saved by the grace of God. Amen? Paul makes this confidence personal because Paul uses that word, you. He didn't say that being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in us, he says a good work in you, and in you, and in you, and in you. It is a personal good thing that he is working in you. So the confidence that I have in him that is working in me might not be the same confidence that you have of him that is working in you. Because he made each one of us different. So therefore, he does different things for us. So while he's working in me, maybe I don't need you telling me what he's done for you. Because I can only testify of what he's done for me. I can't testify about what he's done for you. My testimony is personal because I can only have confidence in what he's done in me. The only way I can understand what he's done in you is when you say what he's done in you. Amen? And if I have confidence in you instead of he, I don't know what you're telling me. So I'll be walking around saying I have confidence in a certain person and not confidence in him. And when that happens, the person is going to fail you, but he never will. Our confidence is also is powerful. Amen? I want you to know this morning that you have a powerful God. When you know that God has done something for you, you know how powerful it is. You see, having little faith in him makes you pause. Having faith and understanding beyond all understanding, you understand that he is powerful. Amen? Powerful makes you stop instead of pause. Amen? But I want you to know he's still doing a good thing in me. Amen? He's still working on me because we're never going to get to perfection. Amen? I know that I'm saved because I can sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. He is so personal. He is so powerful and personal. We don't sing that he is ours. The song's writer writes that he is mine. He works with you. He walks with you. He talks with you. It's personal. That's why I love saying that I have a relationship. With him. My relationship, I'm not sharing my relationship with him, with you. It's mine. I tend to be a little greedy with my relationship with him. I tend to be a little jealous with my relationship with him. When you say he's yours, I'm going to look at you to make sure you're doing the right thing. But he is mine. I take exception to the fact when you say he's yours and he ain't yours. So my confidence is powerful in him because I know that I am saved. Do you have that confidence this morning? Amen? The confidence that we possess is not something that just dwells in us. The activity of God in us, around us, and for us makes our confidence in him something that is precious, something that is real, something that is powerful. Amen? You see, when you have confidence in something, it is real. It is out there. Everybody knows. When you lack confidence in him, the enemy knows. The enemy and his minion knows. So now I'm just going to put my notes away for a minute because I really didn't want to go here, but I have to go here this morning. Amen? How much confidence do you really have in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's what I really want to know this morning. How much confidence do you really have in him? I don't want to hear a whole lot. How much confidence do you really have in him? How much? Can you ask yourself how much confidence do you really have in him? I ask you that question because it is because of your lack of confidence in him, things don't get done that you want done. It is because of your lack of faith that God can't do a good new thing in you that he wants to do. It is because of your lack of faith that God can't work the way he wants to work. It is your lack of faith that them doors are not being blown open right now. It is because of your lack of faith that when the doctor tells you you got cancer, you don't tell them, no, I don't. It is because your lack of faith. But when you have faith and confidence in who he is, realizing that he is doing another thing in you, a great thing in you, and he's not finished yet, you're not giving him that room that he needs to do what he needs to do. So I ask you again, how much confidence do you really have in him? Don't be ashamed. Just be truthful with yourself. That's all I'm asking you to do this morning. Search yourself. You don't have to answer to nobody else. You don't have to tell me, but you're going to have to tell him because he knows. When Paul says he had begun, Paul covers a lot of spiritual territory. We all know what God did for us the day he saved us, amen? But what we fail to consider is the fact that our salvation began long before we realized it. Long before you considered being saved, he had already appointed you. Long before you thought about coming to the altar and laying everything out here, he had already touched that womb. He had already touched your mother's womb. That's the God that I serve. Amen? But when he says, had begun, there is an investment. God has put an investment in you. How many invest their money? Come on. Come on. You invest your money. And when you invest your money, you do the best with your investment that you can. Amen? When the market goes up, you want to get as much of that up money that you can. When it goes bad, your whole disposition changes. Hallelujah. But see, God has put an investment in each and every one of us. And you want to know something? He wins and he loses. But his disposition never changes. But he has an investment in you. And the main thing about his investment is that he wished that none of us would be lost. Amen? Listen to the investment. He loved us before we ever existed. He chose us in Christ before the world was formed. He prepared a Savior before us, the world was formed. In other words, when he prepared a Savior before the world was formed, he realized and he knew when the world was formed that he was going to have to do something different. He already knew what the enemy was going to do. Hallelujah. So he knew that he had to do something different. Because the first Adam messed up. So he sent the second Adam another version. Amen? Better than the first one. Amen? When you buy a car, they got the new one, the first one out on the market. You don't buy that because they haven't worked out the kinks. Hallelujah. But the next year, the next model, you'll get that one because they already found out the faults. And what was failed before is not going to fail this time. So the first Adam failed, but the second one never did. God worked it out. He invested in us. Amen? He said, don't worry. This second model that I'm going to give you, you can trust in that. You can have confidence in that one. Amen? So God, not only did he have an investment in us, but he also had an involvement with us. Amen? It's not like you ever have, you know, one time I was going, when I first went to school at night, right? I was going to night school. I was working a full-time job, right? I go into school, I worked all day, and the teacher came in, put his legs up on the chair, opened the book, and we just read the book. And if I didn't understand, or anybody didn't understand anything, he says, listen, if you don't understand it, you better go to a workshop or something like that, because I don't have time for this. I got mine, you got to get yours. Amen? So in other words, he was there, but he had no involvement with us. Amen? I dropped out until later on because I didn't like his attitude. But the scripture tells me that we got a God that gets involved with us. Therefore, he believes in us, and he wants to interact with us. Amen? He wants to interact with us so much that he bowed down and came down in human form to see the things that we go through so he can give us expert opinion about what it is that we should do. Why? Because he knows what we've been through. He knows what you go through. He's already gone through it already. There's nothing like expert opinion. Expert advice. Amen? And we pay for expert advice. You don't know what to do with your money, you go to a tax counselor. And you sit down and you pay him your money. You get in some legal trouble, you go down and you pay a lawyer for consultation. Amen? You don't have to pay him nothing. All you got to do is get down on your knees and ask him, Lord, have mercy on me. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? What is it, Lord, that I need to do? Hallelujah. Consider his investment. To the left of you, to the right of you, to the back of you, to the front of you is an investment. Amen? And when you invest in something, you continue to work until your inverse investment is complete. Amen? God will work until that day that we are perfected. Until the day that you die, God is going to continue to work with you. How many have life insurance? Okay. There's certain life insurance and actualities, right? They'll give you insurance up to a certain point in time because they know that they've got your money and soon, based on probabilities, you're going to die. So they're not going to invest any more money in you. Amen? So your insurance runs out and now you go to get some new insurance, they're not selling it to you. If they sell it to you, it's worth their while. But they're not going to sell it to you. I had a very painful lesson understanding this. Amen? So I'm telling you now, check out your insurance. But there's a list when you they'll cover you up until, I'm going to just use a number now, all right? Don't take it personal. They're going to cover you till age 85. But when you look at this part of it, all of a sudden the cash value starts going down. That means that when you trade that in, instead of you getting $100,000, it's only worth $50. Amen? You have to die before that magic number of 80 in order for them to get the cash value of that, let's say, $100,000. Amen? So when you live to be 81, you don't got no more insurance because you're not worth it. Makes you think that you were better dead earlier than later. Hallelujah. But see, that's the world. And that's the man, and that's man. But God in the book says he perfects and works with you until the day that you die. So there's no money involved. He don't need your money. He wants your soul. That's more important to him. Please understand this. He wants you. He don't want the money that you're worth. He don't want anything that you got. Amen? It's like our children, right? When they're little, they take their things from you that you gave them. Didn't you buy it? Isn't it really yours anyway? God's not going to take anything from us because it's his anyway. It's his anyway. You don't want to give God his due. It's his anyway. It's his. Consider his intentions. Amen? Now, I want you to look at these words that are being incorporated and what Paul is saying, that he that has begun a good work. Amen? There's certain words that talk about God and what he's doing. There's that word confidence. Amen? There is powerful in that confidence. Amen? There is commitment. There is investment. There is involvement. All of these things are considered when he wrote that one verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How, this is so awesome about the Bible, how can you take one little scripture, I didn't count the words, in that scripture and make it into everything that God has meant it to be and even more? Amen? All of those words are in that scripture in our relationship with the Lord. But there's another one that comes up that says, consider his intentions. We all have intentions, right? We have intentions. God's intention, it says, the word until tells us what God is going to do, what he is going to do with some of us in mind. Amen? So where we are headed, he is going to be there until, amen? And I say until, because when the end time come, everybody ain't going to be dead. Everybody's not going to be dead. There's going to be a rapture. Those alive taken up, and there's going to be those that are dead in Christ. Amen? So until that day that Jesus Christ comes back, until means that his intentions, until that time, he's going to be there for us. Amen? So when we realize God's intention, we know that all of the things that we talk about, God did not intend for us to fail. God, the man intends for you to fail. He intends for you to fail at every point. He makes laws that you can fail. Amen? He does things to make you fail. He makes you do things that you just want to fail. You think he don't? Man will do things to make you want to fail. How many times have you given up on something? How many times have you given up on someone? How many times have you given up on a sickness, an illness, or something? The doctor walks in and says, well, you know, I just want to tell you, Miss Boone, there's really nothing more that we can do for him. And you look at the doctor like he's God, and he is not God. You go to court and you stand before the judge. Somebody you love is standing before the judge, and the judge starts calling them all kind of names and saying they're a detriment to society. They need to be locked away until the end of their life. And you're looking at your son or your daughter, you're saying, but that's my blood, my flesh, my blood. That they're not like that, but they're calling them names, and they're ready to throw them under the jail. Make you want to just scream and holler, amen? You go out there, got all the credentials in the world, did the things that the world told you to do. You went to school, you got your education, now you go to look for a job. There's no jobs available for you. You got a PhD and you're working at McDonald's. You're mad, you're upset. You're frustrated. This is the enemy doing this to you. But you have to know that God is going to be with you until, amen? His intentions are until. So therefore, no matter what it is that we're going through, don't give up until the day that Christ comes to get you. You can never give up because the enemy is relentless in everything that he does against you. Amen? Paul tells us that we must keep working until the day of Jesus Christ. That should give us some comfort, amen? Because we know that in this earthly life, everything that you're going through is not going to last forever. Don't it seem like forever when we're going through things? But the scripture tells me that nothing is going to last forever. Amen? There is nothing that the enemy is putting you through that is going to last forever. There will be a day of transformation. There's a day of transformation where God transforms whatever situation you're in right now to something different. And you must hold on to that. There's going to be a day of transformation when you leave this world and you're saved. Amen? And you go on to be with him. Amen? Not only will we be with him, but we will be like him. Don't you want to be like him? Hallelujah. No matter what it is that he went through, we can be like him. No matter what it is that we go through, we can be like him. Amen? Because when we are like him, you know, we encourage ourselves that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But we see weapons formed against us appearing as though they do prosper. But don't be deceived by the way that they appear. Amen? Because that's not the end battle. That's not the victory. The victory is when we die in Christ. Amen? Because that is all the enemy is trying to get you to do, is to not die in Christ. Amen? So do you believe this morning that God is still working on you? Yeah. Give him a hand. I want you to know that someday God is going to finish his work in me and in you. Amen? Now, I've never been satisfied with things that I myself do here. So I keep working, and I keep doing things to improve myself. Amen? But I want you to know that you serve a God that is going to keep working in you if you allow him to. Amen? See, you just have to allow him to do that work in you. You have to open up. When we praise and give God thanks and praise, we open up ourselves to let him do the work in us. My wife and I was talking. She was saying, you know, I just had to go for a walk, and I you know, was going through something, and I had to just, she couldn't even talk. She couldn't even pray. But she said she started thanking the Lord. And once she opened up that gate, prayer began. Thanksgiving began. Amen. Breakthrough began. You want breakthrough, you have to open the gates with thanksgiving for breakthrough to happen. Hallelujah. Don't your kids tell you how much they love you before Christmas? You walking around the store, they looking at stuff on TV, they run up to you. Oh, mommy, I love you so much. I love you so much, mommy. You see that thing over there? You going to get that from me? They're opening up you with praise and thanksgiving. In November, that toy that cost $250, you was like, ain't no way I'm buying that. But they work on you, and they work on you, and they work on you, they work on you. By the time they get to December, you ready to just give the money. You done laid it away, and you gave the money. Why? Because their persistence, hallelujah, their persistence paid off. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that your persistence will pay off. When you open up with praise and thanksgiving to him, your persistence will pay off. Because when you're going through something and you feel bad that maybe you did something or said something that you shouldn't have, remember that God is still working on you. The enemy is going to want to stomp you down. You say, God, Jesus Christ, help me. He will tell you, okay, I got you. Don't do it again. He'll work with you. Don't put yourself down. Don't be so hard on yourself. He forgives you. You got to forgive you. Amen? Paul writes, in Corinthians, he will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. It says in the scripture that he will work with you and strengthen you, because we need strength to run this race. Amen? And the reason why he strengthens you is so that on that day, the day that Christ comes to get you, on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be blameless. None of us are blameless right now. As long as we're alive, we're not blameless. But he works with us and works with us and works with us until we get to that day, so that we can be blameless. Because scripture tells me that Christ is looking for the bride, the church, without spot or wrinkle. Amen? So to die in Christ, you have to be blameless so you can be part of that church without spot or wrinkle. Maybe you're wondering if really God is real. Amen? You have to stop wondering and believe that God is real. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is real. You have to believe that when he sent the Holy Spirit down to comfort us, that it is real. Amen? People don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in that at all. Hallelujah. If you are saved, not only are you supposed to believe in Jesus Christ, but you have to believe that the Holy Spirit has come down. Amen? And it just don't come to everybody. It comes when you work at it, when you want it, when you seek after it. Amen? You might say, well, why does the Spirit speak to that person and they don't speak to me? It can't speak to somebody who can't hear. It can't speak to somebody that can't hear. If you have not opened yourself to receive the Holy Spirit and done the steps that you need to do, you are deaf, dumb, and blind to the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you can't see in the Spirit. You can't hear the Spirit. And you certainly can't speak in the Spirit. But it's free. It's there for everybody. When you want your weapons of warfare and you want to put them on every day, you need the Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen? Because it's getting more and more and more dangerous out there. The weapons of warfare are increasing. Amen? Just when you think that everything is free and clear, the enemy has another bullet up his sleeve. He has another nuclear weapon he's coming after you with. Amen? He's coming with something else that you can't readily see to arm yourself with. Just when you wake up, there's something there waiting for you. But you arm yourself with the Spirit, because the Spirit never leaves you. It never forsakes you. It kind of wakes you up in the middle of the night and talks to you and say you need to get up because something is going on that you need to address. You need to get on your knees because something's going on with your son or your daughter. You need to get on your knees because your husband's out there acting up right now. Your wife is doing something right now. You need to get on your knees because tomorrow when you go to work, they're going to want to fire you, but I got you covered. Just start praying right now and walk in there with the boldness of what the Spirit has for you. You need to understand that you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Let us stand this morning.